Out to Momchilovic, right corner three. Yes!
To Tinsley, drives up, good! He's fouled, the basket counts! Jamal Tinsley putting on a split. Gilbert fires, Kyle Dix on a three!
The speed, the athleticism, and the skill of Iowa State.
Out of nowhere comes Keyshawn Gilbert. Gilbert hangs in the air and finishes!
Bounce it to Fizer. Fizer. In traffic, takes it in and stops it over Bim. Oh, what a move by Marcus Fizer.
What's happened? Welcome back to another edition of Silent Sirens. I'm your host, Thomas Ornest. And, man, that Illinois game, we're so close. It feels like one of those games that we're going to harp on for a long time because we missed so many damn layups. And it felt like Illinois was good, but it felt like we were the better team. And we just didn't play very good. And
yeah.
Strauss didn't fall. And, it's just the way it goes. And that's the tournament. If you got up, your offense has to show up. The defense was there. But, man, they hit every big shot. And they answered every time that we tried to crawl back. And it seems like Terrence Shannon hit a three.
But he's good.
Very good.
He's super. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you go back to the Washington State game. I mean, first 10 minutes of both games are almost identical. I mean, we can't score in the beginning of the Washington State game. We couldn't score in this one. And so combined in those two games, in the first 10 minutes, we had about 12 points, which you can't do that in this NCAA tournament.
Do that if you want to be a Final Four.
No.
Like, legit contender that people could talk about, which right. I think that's why kind of like the – I don't know. There usually is a lot of distance between until the media talks about Iowa State, but I feel like the media knew that we couldn't really put it all together because our offense struggled so many times because of the years prior of the TJ Otts era, because we really hasn't shown we're at a constant level of offense, which we had at times this year when we're playing our best, but it wasn't always consistent. And it was, I don't know, Milan really didn't show up the way we thought he would, like he had the last couple of weeks where, I mean,
he looked like a freshman. I mean, let's be real. I mean, he's 19.
But our offense was kind of leaning on him to make some shots.
Right. Oh, yeah, right.
If you watch the Washington State and South Dakota State game, he had a lot of crucial, like, shots where we needed against Illinois, and we just didn't have that. And it's just unfortunate. Hopefully he can come back next year and be the star of the show, because I think he's that good. But he's a freshman, and seeing the hate online just sucks.
Yeah, it's so dumb.
It's like, oh, he can leave whenever he wants. So, like, you sending that tweet may make you feel good in this 0.5 seconds. But
if you're tweeting at a 19-year-old of any kind and you are over the age of 19, find something else to do. I mean, that is so ridiculous that you're – that is one of the most gutless things that I've ever seen.
But I think it's gotten worse.
I don't care if you're doing that to an Illinois player, an Iowa player, or one of our own players. That's dumber yet.
I think it's gotten worse since the NIL era.
Oh, sure it has.
Especially
right.
People paying per month to We Will, they think they have a say in most things.
But the guys paying to We Will are probably, you know, north of 30 years old. They're not these mid-20 guys, which is our biggest demographic that listens to this thing. Hopefully it's not our fans that are out there tweeting at our players,
but like
criticizing them.
But people nowadays are living paycheck to paycheck no matter what. So, and they're giving money extra to Iowa State, which doesn't
give them the right to be a dick.
I know that. I mean, but it's just a difference. It's not the same sport as what it used to be.
Yeah. No, you're not going to get any argument from me on that.
And it's just the fans don't really know. Like, there's no playbook to be a fan in this type of era where everything's changing left and right. And like, you lose a tournament game and then like, going to bed, you're just like waking up like, okay, this week, who's going to be on my team next year? Because you have no idea.
Well, we already know that Jackson's gone. We know that two more are gone. Yeah. We're not going to say it because we violate a trust. But that's just that isn't the kids' fault. This is the NIL. The adults in the room have screwed this up. So somebody's got to figure that out. The portal should not be open the day after Selection Sunday. Everybody said that. Fran Fischella down the list. Everybody agrees with that. Kids transferring is not their fault. It's because of the environment we have. You know, at what point can the NCAA make a rule and have it stick? I mean, that's what I don't know. I mean, they're all the courts are throwing out every one of their rules. So it's just, I mean, it's not the player's fault. And also, I mean, even if there's NIL, there's no reason to be tweeting at a kid that didn't perform. I mean, if you have any ill will towards Milan, go listen to on YouTube, watch his post-game press conference and see how shook up he was about the way he played. I mean, if you've never coached or played this game and seen how much work it takes in the off season, I mean, you have no idea that how much time in the gym that kid has spent, and all of our kids for that matter, and all of our coaches. It doesn't start in November or October when the practice starts. They're starting probably next week, and it's hours and hours. I mean, when your brother was a manager, when Monte was playing, you know, it's April or May or whatever it was, and he's – or June, I don't even remember what he said it was, but he's in the gym with Monte working on how to beat a ball screen. I mean, over and over and over again.
But so, it's their job also.
It's not – who?
The kids. They're going to school to throw basketball. They're doing that over and over again. That's a given.
Right, but
it doesn't give the fans – it used to be like –
You think that excuses somebody being that critical of somebody? Because that's
but people are going to
quote their job
no matter what. I mean, we complain about it no matter what. People are going to the bottom of the barrel. Each fan base smells the same. It's shitty.
That's a good way to put it.
And they all act the same. They all if you go on each every it's not because like Iowa State you follow Iowa State fans and Iowa fans. We think we live in a bubble. Just go look at other counts. They do the same damn thing.
Yeah.
It's not just it's a. Being a college athlete thing, I bet they have a bunch of like classes and like just to deal with it. Because like,
it's
crazy.
Telling them. I mean, I'm shocked that our kids are on Twitter. I mean, to be honest,
what do they get out of it?
Yeah, no, I mean, they have a little social interaction with the fans, but
the positive
there's negative. The negatives are 90%. The positives maybe 10 on a good day. I mean, especially if they're reading the comments. I mean. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it just irritates the hell out of me when somebody's criticizing one of our own players.
Could you imagine Twitter would look like after Tinsley missed that layup? They would have gone after him just the way they
No, they're going after the whole team. I mean, it wasn't just him that day.
But I'm
just
saying.
And imagine Twitter when Larry Stasia had his issues. I mean,
yeah, I'm saying it's just the tale of the times, and we just got to limp our way through it. And Iowa State fans, like, I think the thing about Iowa State fans, like, person-to-person interaction has to be fantastic. Like,
Iowa
State fans going to go up to me.
Even though you want to run into at the Big 12, I talked to so many Kansas State fans, Kansas fans, and, you know, other fan bases, and they had zero negative interactions. Was sitting in Omaha with some Illinois fans, had zero negative interactions. Took a picture with a Duquesne fan, for crying out loud. I mean, had no... But Twitter is a different world. I mean, it's a cesspool. That's just the way it is. And I spend too much time on it just trying to keep up on things, but it is a cesspool. That's the way it is. Eric Pratt from the Fort Dodge Messenger said that today.
Yeah.
Or yesterday.
Just going back to the game, it's just felt like we just could not get over the hump. We kind of started the way we shouldn't have. We got players we like going into the game, it's like, all right, Ward can't get in foul trouble. Got in foul trouble.
Immediately
got three of the fouls. They're just weak. And just like, how many times he did that during the year where we just go by? It was like they didn't call anything.
Well, his second or third one, he came on and hedged a ball screen really hard and just clobbered a guy. I mean, he just looked like he had regressed as far as his how to handle his moment. And just too bad because, you know, Hassan had a fantastic year. We are going to miss him tremendously. I mean,
yeah, he might be a top 10 center in Iowa State history, like just like talent and production wise, defense and offense, like especially the last 30 years. Like, there's not been, we've always wanted that type of a player.
Yeah.
The guy who does his role, pick and roll, all of his layups, or he just goes by the rim and just doesn't do too much and is just really long and amazing on defense because he got
so much better.
Rim protection, because how many times were we just like, man, if we just had a rim protector, and it's like, we want a Hassan Ward, and we had him for, honestly, this whole year, we could easily not have had him.
Right. Easily.
He could have left.
He could have left,
or didn't play basketball anymore, or went overseas and played, but thank God he came back and really productive and gave us a lot of great minutes as a Cyclone and gave us a undefeated in Hilton. And Trey King too, like Robert Jones hits his two last free throws.
that was so awesome.
And that dunk really sucked for him because I just wanted these Cyclones to keep going because I feel like we had the right formula this year. We had the seniors, we had the young talent, and it just seemed like we just couldn't put it all together for the tournament against Illinois. But it just sucks because we had a huge home court advantage against in Omaha, and then now we are all the way to Boston. It just sucks we couldn't be a little closer because I feel like our crowd could have been a little more involved because we've been especially with Kansas City, we were so used to having a crowd behind us, and now that was kind of our first true road game since the Kansas State game. So
I mean, we had five straight games where we're basically a home crowd.
Yeah,
yeah, and you're right. The last hostile crowd we've been in front of was Kansas State, and we just didn't. We just didn't handle the moment at the beginning of the Illinois game at all.
Throughout the whole year, we really. The conference play, obviously the non-conference is kind of washed because like, we killed everyone basically other than the invitational tournament in Florida. But
which we played without Hassan. But
most of the year we waited to like the last 6 minutes to really turn it on defense or on offense to kind of come back. We kind of did that against BYU and other teams, but I don't know. It's just
sucks. I'm going to tell you, I mean, I have told you this, but I had a very Iowa State fan moment during that game. I mean, we looked so bad there for us at the beginning of the game that I was just hoping we didn't get embarrassed. I was going backwards in time thinking, you know.
Our defense is so solid.
These are kind of the games that it gets away from us and then we can never recover. But then you have to remember how good we played, how good we are on defense.
We
lost by three and Hassan played 10 minutes, had no points and five fouls. If you would have told me going into that game, Hassan has that stat line, I think we get beat by 20.
I don't know about that. Like, the thing about Hassan is, like, his stat line, really, if he really projected there, that's when we knew we win by, like, 15 or more. But, like, offensively.
Combine that with Milan with 1 point?
Yeah. I mean, tell me that. Milan with 1 point. And
Hassan zero?
And, like, Terrence Shannon went off. Like, you can't do that. Like, you can have their best player, offensive player go off, and, like, our most talented offensive player doesn't do anything.
Yeah, I got to give you credit though. You texted me and said tonight Curtis goes off. You said that before the game, so you called that one.
But he's been doing it all year.
But hasn't had 26 points or whatever
that's probably the most shots he's had all year because
he took 18 shots. I mean, led the team in attempts, which he should. Heck, I wish he would have shot more. Four for seven from three.
Let's look into next year. Just obviously, we can't even like project on a next year because we have no idea. We got that commitment the day before the Sweet 16 game.
Yeah.
I think he's going to look pretty good.
Newcomer of the year in the Big 12. I'm predicting it right now.
6'11", and TJ. Until TJ flops on transfer, I'll just trust that he's just getting the exact right fit because he just seems to always have a knack to get the exact fit at Iowa State and what the fans like and our play style. And it's just, I don't know. It's just a tough time. A tough time to project. I'm so like when the season ends, I'm like, all right. I'm looking to next year. Like even like during the season, like I like really enjoy like, all right, what's our program looking?
Projecting starting lineups and stuff like that.
Two to 3 years from now. And now it's like you have no reason to even think of that. There's no reason to have any injury to that. But like growing up, like that was my thing. Like how are we going to build it from one season to the next?
Yeah.
But now it's just free agency. It's just like pick up basketball game. Like, oh, who's coming to the park? Yeah. Who's going to play? Who's going to come to Iowa State and take online classes and play Iowa State?
Well, you think back to every year. I mean, you think, well, we got all these guys coming back, so we just need this, this, and this, and now you just have to sit and wait.
It's like, who's our team?
If you watched that Rick Pitino interview, but Rick Pitino talks about how it's just not fun to coach college basketball anymore because he's got three guys coming back next year. It's St. John's.
And it's like your season ends, and like, okay, they used to be like, all right, we have a little off time. Like, there's a dead period, but, like, I don't think there's really a dead period anymore. I think there is maybe – I really don't know the whole calendar anymore because it changes so fast. And especially with, like, the court rulings changing everything, it's just kind of like I don't know how to act, like, as a fan going into the next year to project because it's just also – I don't know. Maybe I'm just in the minority here. It's just, like, it was fun to, like, project into your – like down the road to see where the program is. Now it's just like you have no idea.
You can't do it.
You have no idea. Like Lipsy's probably like the only maybe for sure guy because he's from Ames. His parents work at Iowa State, and
you can't predict next year, let alone 2 years from now. I mean,
obviously the Hunter Decker stuff was like the gambling stuff, but like it just not. We could have a different quarterback for like years on end. Like just like the way we had that one time where we couldn't find a starting quarterback who could finish the year for so long. We might have some of those errors, obviously. But obviously, Rocco is not going to be. I think he's staying because, like, I think he got some big cash offers in this offseason.
I'm sure there's. I mean, there's money bags being hauled to Ames right now, trying to lure our kids away. I mean, there's like got to be
like we're obviously switching roles to just football and NIL in general here, but I like just watching our the young players on our football team and basketball team, I'm just like, okay, well, they're going to go somewhere else. But Ben Bramer is still an Ames.
Yes.
Because I thought he'd be for sure. Like, if I'm an SEC school, give him whatever he wants because I think he could start for any team next year.
Yeah, so, you know, they're talking about – I was listening to some podcast and they were talking about, you know, it's a violation of the NIL if it's a true pay-for-play. Then what is this? I mean, let's just call it what it is. They're paying players to play.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all it is. So just call it the way it is.
That's what they wanted. That's like the whole change was to begin with. Obviously, it was for their likeness, but.
I mean, Pitino was saying, you know, we need to put him under contract so he can get a little stability. I mean, and then call him employees or whatever, just like the NBA. I mean, that's just the way it's going to have to be able to sign him to some type of contract, possibly. I mean, I don't know. I mean, but. We can get in the weeds with this. This is something we should talk about in June, probably.
Yeah.
I mean,
just going back to the game, like last couple of weeks of games. Just obviously you were in the Kansas City and Omaha.
And then we're in Omaha. Yeah, you were with me too. I mean, we had an interesting time, but
yeah,
we did a first podcast we've ever done from a hotel room. So.
Yep. Never watched Iowa State lose in person. That's pretty rare.
Five straight wins. It was it was fun. I mean, it was. The Omaha setup was fantastic. I mean, and talked about that when we were over there, that, you know, just the area is very good. If things weren't overly priced, I didn't think, at the stadium. The little bar area where they had the Cyclone thing really was kind of cool. I mean, saw a lot of people from Ames down there, obviously, or from Iowa in general. But, it was a great experience. But, you know, I hate to tell you, if we would have won Thursday, we'd be staring at Auburn Hills 2.0 today because it's 90% UConn fans.
Yep.
And that's just I was worried about that when I saw the seedings come out because, you know, you watched the games last night. Marquette gets beat by North Carolina State, and I kept thinking that should be the game we're in because that was in Dallas.
Yep.
And if it's in Dallas, we get a truckload of Iowa State fans.
And, like, we should not be the last two seed. After the season we had, we just beat the number one seed overall at the time by 30 in the Big 12 tournament, which that makes me think that the Big 12 tournament might be losing some interest in the future.
Like we said before, we moved up the finals to Saturday to help with the seeding thing, and it didn't make a damn bit of difference.
So, like, as an Iowa State fan, you kind of think, well, why does it matter? Like, we obviously matters because it's a game. It's the Big 12 championship game. It's fun.
Yeah, we get a ring. I mean, it does have meaning. But
just as a national view of, like, obviously we're going back to, like, looking ahead, like, to build the program of the future. Like, that's the thing where, like, the building block, like, okay, well, we have six of them now, I think, right? Six Big 12 championship tournament, Big 12 championships. We're 6-0. Which, I mean, if you count the
6-0 championship games, you're right.
If you count the last Big 8 tournament championship, it's 7.
Yeah.
Because Willoughby and Cato beat Kansas that one year. And then the next year was when the Big 12 started. They got Oklahoma and Texas, and then you fast forward to now, and, like, those are leaving.
And we had Arizona State, Utah, and Colorado next year. I mean, they're not going to bring in a bunch of fans to Kansas City. I mean,
I don't think
they could possibly, I guess, from Arizona, but
who knows? It's a big mystery because, I don't know, it's just going to be flying your seat your pants every year. We're going to buy season tickets. Obviously, that's guaranteed, but you have no idea who the hell is on our team.
The funny thing about this whole NIL thing is that you look who's left. There's no – unless you want to count North Carolina State, which North Carolina State is not a no-name team, for crying out loud. But there's really – the big-time programs are still there. I mean, Duke's still in. Tennessee's still in. You know, we go down – Purdue is predicted to be one of the best teams this year. They're still in. There's no – Florida Atlantic this year, or, you know, Iona or some random team like that. You know, NIL possibly has given us a little bit of parity because you don't have Kentucky, you don't have Kansas, but you still have the big names in the tournament. And the one thing that I couldn't believe when we played Illinois, and Illinois is not like, you know, when you think Illinois, you do think that they're probably better in basketball than they are in football. I mean, they've been good in basketball off and on, but I didn't realize they hadn't been to Sweet 16 for 20 years.
Yeah, since 2005.
20 years, and we've been to how many since then? I mean,
three.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've been, yeah. So, I mean, it was amazing to me that we kind of are taking it for granted that Sweet 16 is not good enough right now. And it's been a long time since Illinois has been there.
Not good enough. It's just that we thought all year we're building up, like, this could be the year we finally go to the Final Four and finally break the. And when we get that seat, we get kind of hosed in the seeding and being in UConn's bracket. Obviously, we got Omaha, which was kind of a breeze, like winning like San Diego State or South Dakota State was they're a tough team. Like, I mean, half their team's in the portal now.
Yeah.
And same with Washington State, which is kind of weird. We went to see teams to play, and then now like all of those players that made like shots are gone from their team.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. I don't think it's sustainable. I really don't. Because, like, it's really hard for people to watch year to year because we need to, like, know who's on each team. Like, imagine if the NBA, every team was different. Obviously, it's kind of turned to that with the free agency teaming up, but they have contracts that make it so teams to teams you know each year. But imagine if it was the different team every year.
Yeah.
Which that's just, I don't know, maybe it's just me. It's just me complaining at the old man of the sky, making wishes we can have some sustainability where we know, like, of a core, like, imagine being on the marketing team. Like, all right, well, when can we market for season tickets next year? Like,
who are we gonna when can we shoot the poster?
Yeah, like, yeah. We have to, like, shoot the
poster in, like, mid-October.
A Photoshop of Chris Colvin's face with someone else's.
Yeah, I mean, Kansas has got the Brinks truck out trying to find players right now. I mean, Arizona did that. I mean, hey, Caleb Love, for crying out loud.
Choked.
And they can't get past the Sweet 16 either. I mean, so going out and buying players is not necessarily the answer. You still have to have what TJ is working on. You have to have a culture, and you have to have kids that want to be there.
Yeah, it has to make sense. You have to have, like, a routine, and that's why I loved, like, even there's no celebrating Kansas City. There's no celebrating Omaha. Like, we literally passed them.
Yeah, we passed them on the interstate. Yeah,
with Omaha, which was kind of nice to know that we're kind of locked in. We could have easily – there's so many teams that would have stayed and just partied up and just, like, live in the moment. But not TJ's team because I don't know. I just feel like TJ is the guy who's going to lead us there.
Yeah.
I really think that. I think this year was really fun because we went undefeated in Hilton, which we've been waiting for that for a long time, which it would have been Yang's freshman year, but the Kansas
the block charge thing.
That what ruined it, that one single game, which we didn't lose in regulation that year in Hilton, if that counts.
Well, I guess we can count that, I guess.
But, yeah, if we can just continue the fan support, which I think the prom era kind of put a hole in the tire for a long time, and I think that's kind of filled now all the way to the top, and we're going to maybe do something different with the student section, not give them just give them the big games or the upper deck and maybe scatter that more, maybe be more like – just like have better ideas to Philip Hilton because like there shouldn't be games where in the top five and go look up their deck and there's no one there. Like,
right.
That should not happen.
Right.
Like, I feel like there's so many fans around like Ames that would just like last second go to the game because we're top 10 in the country and Hilton's one of the best places to play in the country. And I think it's just like, I want to talk about next year, but you can't like, I want to like,
we don't know.
I want to be like, Gilbert's going to be freaking like all American. First time All-American, but he can leave to Kentucky.
Yeah, we don't know if Curtis, and we don't know if anybody's staying. I mean, we have no idea. Hell, we don't know we hope that TJ's staying, but that could change too. I mean, you don't ever know in this world. I mean, all we do know is on Twitter now, so we can say that Caden Fish is gone. So there's two gone as of right now. I mean, it's a moving target. It'll probably change three more times before we're done today.
Which, just reading into this, like Caden Fish, like huge reason why he got to Iowa State was because of Omaha, like AU team, which I don't know if that will, obviously we're just projecting on 19-year-old kids' decisions on their life.
Well, he had a shoulder injury earlier in the year. And
yeah, I think he could be a solid, or go play at South Coast State,
I mean, I don't know who he's offered. I mean, the other one, well, I'm not going to say it because the other one has not been released yet, but the other one was probably the most surprising one that I've heard so far. But
anyway,
I don't want to change that. I don't want to bring it up until we know, until you see it on the news or whatever.
Yeah. And it's just weird seeing us offer transfers also when we're still playing. That's just so weird.
Right.
And we have a commitment when we're still playing. And I always talk to Michael, my brother, and he's like, we don't have scholarships. How are we throwing out offers? We don't have scholarships.
Well, I know. I mean, we've been talking to at least four guys. I mean, anticipating it. I mean, we can't do anything about it until we have a scholarship. But I mean, you in this day and age, TJ's got to do that. I mean, he's got to, you know, stay ahead of it a little bit. He can't wait till all of a sudden, we got five guys gone. Now who should we go get? I mean, you can't do that. I mean, this is the business side of it that I think he's really good at.
I think, yeah, he could be – the way he's playing, like the way he sets a roster, he is very impressive to know exactly what – like Robert Jones was probably one of the most impressive recruits that he's ever brought in.
The development side of it?
Just when he brought him in, I'm like, why the hell are we getting –
because he's big.
No, I'm saying a Denver? It's like, what? Yeah. And it was the first couple were Jazz Kuntz, which block charge legend, and Sweet 16.
And he's one of the reasons that we got the Deshaun guy that won the transfers. I mean, he was a teammate of that kid at Washington State. So,
And so those two guys, I'm because the TJ era were first off, fans don't remember. Fans were not 1,000% sure that he would be succeeded at Ohio State.
Yep.
Louis Currier said he'd rather extend pro than hire.
Oh boy.
That's rough statement, but
rough statement.
Louis paid a lot to season tickets and Iowa State apparel to make up for it. So Louis got support for Iowa State. So I hate because going back to where in Little, it's if we just get the good players, they can't transfer because back then they didn't really transfer unless you had a problem with. And we just get them to Iowa State.
Yeah. Adam Haluska, Shane Power.
I was just get them to Iowa State. They'll succeed. Royce White, those top level players that we don't usually get. If we can just get them out of state, they'll be really good in Hilton, and then they'll just love it. Because I think Gilbert's one of those players that the first time he played in a packed Hilton, it was against Iowa, and that was when the press conferences where Rob Jones it gets louder,
and he couldn't believe it.
What? There's no way. And he came from a college where UNLV, where there was 30 people in the stands, and most of their fans are from the 90s, and. Yeah, anyways, it's just fun to be good, but, man, it just sucks when we didn't get to where we wanted to be, which we're kind of spoiled to think we should be a Final Four in year three as a head coach.
Right, no, there's no – yeah, I mean, obviously we were expecting it because we weren't the only ones saying it. It wasn't like we were just pulling this out of our ear. I mean, we had other – there was a lot of talking heads that thought that we had a chance to do that, but – and we the opportunity was there. I mean, we played played a subpar game against Illinois in the Sweet 16 and lose by 3.
Yep, that sucks.
And the unfortunate part is that we were the third team, I believe, maybe the fourth team since February 1st that Illinois held under 70 points.
Yeah, because looking at their schedule going into that game, man, they couldn't guard. Looking at their the opposing team, they would have teams that score 80, 85, but they score 90, 95. But yeah, they're kind of, which is kind of weird because their coach was kind of more defensive oriented and at Okie State. But obviously they got Terrence Shannon and a bunch of shooters and they just had a good game, which I think tonight, obviously by the time we release this podcast, the UConn and Illinois game will be going on, but
it's going on right now actually.
Yeah. But I think there's a good chance that Illinois just loses by 10, 15.
It's 7 minutes left in the first half and they're down 6.
Yeah. Which I think UConn has obviously we're going off the UConn fan base because of the Royce White game way back and then.
Yeah.
Which they had 30 fans there.
It was in
Louisville.
Louisville, and they did not, were they coming off the national championship year that year?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why there wasn't anybody there.
Which I don't really think, I've never seen a huge fan base for UConn, I don't think their arena is huge, and I've never seen UConn really travels well. But in Boston, and it's drivable, and I don't know. It's just I really wish we were playing today. We're playing right now, but we made the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
The first coach to make two Sweet 16s in a row, or not in a row, but in 2 or 3 years, which is insane. That's insane. First coach in Iowa State history. We've had a lot of great coaches.
Yeah,
and this is the first coach to have two Sweet 16s.
Yeah. Well, Johnny making it was like a unicorn. I mean, I remember that year it was yesterday, making the Sweet 16, because we were in first round was in Minneapolis, Sweet 16 was in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I mean, that was crazy. I mean, but yeah, no, we're getting a little spoiled, which is okay. I mean, having high expectations is all right. I mean, so, and TJ knows it. But, one thing, going back to the game, there's a couple things about the Illinois game that I've listened to a lot of people talk about the game that nobody is pointing out. Curtis Jones got his second foul about 4 minutes into the game, and it totally changed the way he guarded people. Hassan got in foul trouble, totally changed the way he could guard. And then would the other guys get up, you know, get two fouls or whatever, and it totally changed the way we had to play defense because we didn't want to get in foul trouble. Curtis, to me, never went back to playing normal defense because he finished the game with two fouls. He got two fouls in the first 4 minutes, finished the game with two fouls.
I don't think he fouled out all year or was even close to
it. No, I mean, he never got his third, though. I mean, so I think the fact that we were getting a little in our own head about getting in foul trouble changed the way we guarded because we were afraid, you know, all of a sudden I'm going to get, you know, bang, bang, three and four fouls, and now I'm sitting on the bench. So, I mean, because Curtis was just lights out on defense recently, and that, in my opinion, just changed the way he thought about how he could guard people. And if I remember right, didn't we have some other guys get in foul trouble too early? And I mean, they got two fouls right away. And
I think Trey King maybe got a couple. And
yeah, Trey was in foul trouble. That's right. So I'm just looking it up here real quick. Yeah, so the game, this is the way the game finished. Rob had four, Trey had four, Taman had three, Keyshawn had three, Hassan obviously had five, and Curtis had two. So, I mean, you know, Trey and Rob are playing with four fouls at the end of the game, and Lipsy and Gilbert are playing with three, and we just, you know, we can't play our kind of defense when we're worried about getting in foul trouble. And that's just the way it is.
I think this is where the game happened. It was the weird tip-in, like they made two points, and then Gilbert's missed the layup, and then Trey King's like, awkward lob but didn't go in.
Yeah, the deflection that went off the backboard and turned into an alley. It wasn't a Keyshawn deflected it, then Rob deflected it.
Rob, or it was Chris Jones popped it behind.
Oh, yeah,
went,
right.
Hit the backboard.
Then Rob touched it. Yeah, then Rob deflected it, and it goes off the backboard, turns into an alley-oop for Illinois.
Yeah, easy two, and that's one where it's like, okay, everything's bouncing their way.
Keyshawn could have dunked it. I think it was a little intimidated by their length. And tried to do a finger roll off the bat, and hated finger rolls when I was a coach. I mean, for that reason, it goes off the back of the backboard. And then Trey, you know, I think he was a little surprised how open he was, and Taman threw him an unbelievable pass, and couldn't score on that alley-oop. And that's, you know, 6 points right there off of plays, you know, that probably shouldn't have happened. But
and like we made our free throws for the most part,
and they didn't. I mean, I was worried heading in that game because they were about a 70. North of 70% from the free throw line as a team.
Which and that them missing every free throw, I'm like, okay, we have to come back and win this now.
Yeah.
Like you were saying that before, like Illinois has a really good free throw percentage, and like if they get to the free throw line, they're gonna absolutely murder it, and they really didn't at all.
Yeah.
They missed basically every big free throw.
And Shannon was and then he made the ones at the end. I mean, but yeah, I don't know.
And we really didn't take advantage of when Shannon got in foul trouble. We really didn't take advantage of that, where we could have really put him on him on offense. And like, I don't know.
Why is Shannon? I mean, have you heard any announcer even brushed by the subject of Shannon's legal trouble?
I mean, in Penn State this year, the Penn State crowd was yelling "Just say no," which was kind of
that was during the Big Ten tournament, though. I think wasn't it
at Penn State,
and the refs threatened to kick him out.
No, it was the whole crowd.
Oh, there was one game, and the band was yelling, and the officials threatened to kick the band out of the game.
Really,
I think it was at the Big Ten tournament.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
interesting. Go from the Boo Paulo situation
and Xavier Foster
to this.
And then we get beat by, I mean, all those guys are suspended indefinitely. And then Shannon's got a similar situation. Go Google it. I mean, and it's obviously all alleged still, but, and Illinois decided to let him play. So it is what it is.
They're in the lead eight. Like if they make the national title and he's the player of the year and he gets, it's like, oh, all right, well, we'll take that back.
Yeah. I don't know. The one thing I was going to bring this up, but one thing I went back and watched the Washington State game that I could not believe happened. But at the beginning of the game, the announcers were saying, this is the Washington State game. They were saying, this is the first time Washington State has played Iowa. First time Washington State has played Iowa State. I can't believe they've never played given their location. That's exactly what he said. So he thought we were Idaho. Idaho borders Washington.
Yeah, that's a mix-up.
He somehow thought we were playing there. Washington State was playing Idaho that day. I thought that was kind of funny. But
I think the first time we played in football was the bowl game, and
yeah,
Alamo Bowl, which that was fun.
And then everybody was chanting, "Let's go State!" in that. Yeah. And then that was ridiculous.
But like, those state schools. Who watches Washington State though?
Yeah.
Who's and the Hoosier? They're done. They're the Mountain West.
Yeah.
They're experiencing our nightmare.
Can we talk about the four idiots sitting in front of us at the Washington State game?
I mean,
yeah. I mean, you were five rows ahead of me, and then five rows ahead of you were four blasted Washington State fans.
Yep.
And you know, during the first 10 minutes when we're not playing well, you know, they're being obnoxious as hell and getting up and talking crap to Iowa State fans, and there's a bunch of Iowa State fans behind them. And then they started arguing with the Iowa State fans, and they were facing our direction. They weren't even looking at the game. They were facing our direction, arguing with our fans for the majority of the game.
And like, and to put it in perspective, at the time, those tickets that they're around was probably $600 to $700 a piece.
Yeah,
people probably bought those tickets.
Yeah, people, if they bought them off of StubHub, they're probably paying $500. Yeah,
yeah, which is insane. Which like I. Kid next to me and the dad was like, "Oh man, you better enjoy this. I spent $1,000 on like."
You didn't tell me that.
He's I don't know if he's like exaggerating or anything, but he's just telling his son to really got to really enjoy this because we're spending a lot of money on it.
Wow!
Which he sat right next to me, and he's an Iowa State fan. And he had a great time because we I don't know. Obviously, we're going back to Washington State game. Which
no, we're just talking about the experience. I mean, it was just ridiculous. I mean, because you said to me, he goes, "Can you imagine if that was us sitting behind those guys?" We would have got him out of there. I mean, I wouldn't have tolerated it. I mean, I was either, you know, I would have just got an usher over there and said, "Get together, get these guys out of here." I mean, they weren't even cheering.
No.
I mean, they were just arguing with those people behind us. I mean, or behind them. I mean, that was ridiculous.
Like those fans they just want to get in a fight. Or
I think they have a Humboldt connection too, by the way.
The people that
were sitting there.
The one that were yelling at us?
The Washington State people that were yelling at the Iowa State fans? Yeah, I think those people have a Humboldt connection.
I'm not sure what that is. I think Will talked about that on the way back because I think we ran into him at the Casey's on the way back.
Yeah, we did, actually. Yeah.
Man, that's got to be the worst where you pay all this money, especially if you had kids around. It's just like, what are we doing? Like, you get blacked out drunk. Maybe that's like why Jamie's like, we're not having this in the stadium. That's almost like... It kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Like the party has to stop at some point, and like, I don't know, because if flashback where we're little and we're like really like emotional, like we want to watch the game, and like you got these drunk idiots who are not even conscious at the game, spending all this money going to this game, and probably spending $300 on booze, because man. Those tickets, those booze prices in those arenas are insane.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was reasonable compared to Kansas City, but I mean, it's still.
I think you've been beaten down too far. It's like, $5 popcorn. That's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, $12 beer, huh?
Not bad.
Jesus, shit, I'll take 10.
Yeah, right. I think that's kind of, they have those prices. Like, it's like we always expect, there's like, it's probably $17 for popcorn. It's like, it's $5. Not bad.
Yeah.
And it's just a fun experience to be this good this early in the aughts era. And it's been a fun, like one of probably the funnest year. I don't know, maybe it's just the moment. It was the funnest year probably as being a Cyclone basketball fan because there was moments in the promo era where I didn't think this could happen again.
Right.
I thought he ruined it enough where fans won't show up like they used to. Like Fred had to, it took the Fred a long time where it was selling out good because. I think our fan base is one where if we spend a lot of money and come to games back to back, especially with weather, we're like, I'm just not going to come anymore.
Yeah.
And TJ's made it really fun to watch. And I think the style play fits Hilton perfectly.
Fans have gotten behind TJ. TJ, we got to get TJ a walkout song.
I think that Johnny does. It's something weird. I don't know the song. It's a Pitbull song, but I think they choose a different one every time.
The thing that made Johnny Orr iconic is that the band played it.
Yeah.
As soon as the band started playing it, everybody knew Johnny was coming. And now you can see him on the big screen and all that kind of stuff. But that was what made... And, you know, if you've never seen a video of Johnny Orr walking out onto the floor, it was just... I mean, it just got everybody fired up. I mean, he had this...
Did they do it in every game? Was it against Drake? Was it against...
Every game. Didn't matter.
Green Bay.
Didn't matter. Linwood. I mean, Lindenwood or whatever. He did it every game.
TJ could easily do that. It's just a personality thing.
Come on, just flex. That's just all he's got to do.
Go nuts.
I loved his press conference thing. He was talking about his shirt because everybody's making fun of him wearing too tight of a shirt.
Yeah.
There's some guys at our rec center making fun of him, the Hawk fans. But If he just came out and just did one quick flex, it would be so funny, and everybody would go bananas.
The thing is, he doesn't want the attention on him at all.
No, that's
just
not his personality.
It's just like a giant personality. I don't think we'll ever get a personality that fits. Obviously, TJ fits everything program-wise, personality-wise, the program. But just saying, like, Johnny with, like, the media, the refs. Like, I think the reason why Iowa State fans love him as much because, obviously, he built made Iowa State basketball what it is today. And just, like, the reason why we love hate the refs, I think it still goes back to the Johnny era where we used to just hark on the refs all the time.
I think that's Johnny flipped off the ref during a game. Can you imagine TJ doing that? I mean,
maybe if you could have Melvin Edgem on the staff.
That was a BYU though too.
And yeah, I just
like him the walkout song that was, as soon as they started playing it, then we knew TJ's coming out because you know everybody is kind of has really gotten behind TJ. You know, he's got a really dry sense of humor, which is very Eustachia-like. Eustachia had a really dry sense of humor too. So, you know, we love TJ. Hope he stays here forever. I really, truly hope he's our Tom Izzo or pick a name. I'm hoping that's the kind of guy that he is. I mean, and hopefully he is. Cause
Dean Smith or Coach
K. Yep.
All those, like, it's pretty rare. Obviously, him having his wife, meeting him out of state.
Yep.
It just fits Iowa State more. And like
he's from Wisconsin. I mean, he's an area guy. I mean, a lot of connections.
Wisconsin is just without Wisconsin, where would Iowa State as a state, just the talent we've gotten from Wisconsin and Michigan, where would Iowa State as a program be? Like, we would have Monte, we would have Jeff Greer,
right.
We wouldn't have Deontay Burden, Scott Christopherson,
Matt Thomas.
The list goes on. I mean, Tyrus Halliburton, obviously. I can't believe we're like seven names deep. I mean, yeah. Tyrus Halliburton.
Right.
Tyrus Halliburton, though.
And second by the way, it's finally out. It's on Twitter now. Jelani Hamilton is gone too, which is the one it's disappointed me the most. I mean, because we knew it had happened a while ago, and he had offers from Auburn, he had Wake Forest, he had some good big time offers. He's a 4-star guy. His parents are from went to Iowa State, and he showed up at Iowa State for a visit and committed the next week because he kind of fell in love with the school. But he must not think he's going to crack the starting lineup. I mean, that's just my opinion. I mean,
which I think I love that about TJ. He has meetings with players and is 100% honest with them.
Yeah.
And like, just think about Jeremiah Williams, like the Rutgers recruit.
Yeah.
Like he's
We could have used him this year.
Yeah. Which I don't know. I think Lipsy being as good as he was really changed things a lot.
But he was a little bigger of a guard. I mean,
he tore his Achilles. Yeah. I think it's a tough injury.
And he's not, I still follow him on social media, and somebody was wondering if he was going to transfer again, and he decided not to. He's going to stick around. So good for him. He's at Rutgers, unfortunately, but good for him. So.
Yeah. And yeah, those types.
I just don't want any of these guys to end up at Kansas.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, I mean, I just don't want any of them we have to do cheer against them type thing.
But yourself in the boost. Just pretend you're a big booster in Kansas. You're like, all right, we can pick off players from teams that could beat us.
So yeah.
Why not go after
Curtis Jones or Keyshawn? I know.
Or Cech Diallo or, you know, those type of players that they.
Well, I mean, we've got the kid that I can't pronounce his name coming in next year. That's a good, the great 3-point shooter. So we've got help on the way. I mean, we just have to replace, you know, I think we've got a huge step forward in replacing the kid that's coming from Charlotte. That's 6'11", 72% free throw shooter. You watch his highlights. He can take people off the dribble left or right. He's a big dude. So I think, you know, obviously he's going to take Bob Jones' spot. And then, you know, we've got guys in the program, Omaha. You know, again, we don't know if they're going to be there or not, but Omaha and other guys that can take Trey King's role pretty easily. So then we just got to find, you know, maybe another Hassan, something like that.
Yeah, getting like TJ, reason why I'm confident like going forward is because TJ got Oshunity, which is one of the transfers. I'm like, we are never going to get that type of level player ever again because of the NIL.
Yeah.
Like, those type of players don't grow on trees.
Yeah.
And we got him and Hans Ward, which is in crazy like recruiting.
Hassan Ward, you mean?
Hassan Ward, yeah. Which,
so, but that, and Charlotte's got a 6'11 guard type guy that's going to transfer too. I said, well, why don't we do the VCU thing all over again and bring him too? He's
and apparently, a shooter. Colorado has a guard that Chris Jones' cousin, which.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Which
I didn't know there was a family connection.
I'm thinking that. Does that, hopefully, that's a good thing. If he doesn't, like, obviously, some families don't get along, and hopefully. If he can come to Iowa State and be another 40% free throw shooter alongside with, I think Curtis Jones starting next year, no doubt.
Oh, why Wendy?
He's starting no matter what.
I mean, you know, I've heard people compare him to Tyrus McGee, which is a really great comparison this year. I mean, it was because he's coming off the bench 3 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, God, if we can keep, you know, Taman, Curtis, and Keyshawn.
I don't really care who else is on our team.
Yeah, three guards are just, I mean, they're as good as anybody, any three guards in the country.
I mean, those three guards are amazing on defense.
Yes.
Absolutely amazing. Like Gilbert.
And that's the one thing about, you know, about Omaha. Omaha is a really good defender. He was a little lost this year on defense, but he's good around the rim, and he can be a fantastic defender. And so I think, you know, if we can keep him around, he's going to make an impact next year. He's not going to be, you know, taking five threes a game or anything like that, but he is a typical TJ player. He plays extremely hard. I think he's extremely coachable, and he's super athletic. So
I think his mind was going faster than his body at some points. So well, but I know why I kind of messed up. And I feel like imagine coming as your McDonald's All-American. You're from Iowa. The first time since Marcus Fizer, Iowa State finally got a McDonald's All-American. Finally. And then you're in the same recruiting class with this 7'6" guard/forward from Wisconsin who comes in and splashes right away. It's exactly what we wanted, like, on offense. And coming in with three grown-ass men with Hassan Ward, Trey King, and Robert Jones. That's with the number one level defense in the country the last couple of years. That's really tough to come into, being an 18-year-old kid with all his expectations, staying at home. And we're still a Sweet 16 team, and Omaha barely played, and all those players that were ahead of him were leaving, which I think those minutes will just go to Omaha, hopefully, if he stays. And who knows, it could be a transfer that we don't even know about. It can come, which I don't know. Just even if he does transfer, let's just say hypothetically he does. It's just like we'll cheer for him.
Yep, it's just do. Obviously, we're not going to have any ill will against him.
We'll cheer for him because he's an Iowa kid, and you'll probably if maybe they're honest with him that we might look for transfers that will play right away over you. If you're like, you know, I think TJ's that honest with these kids, and I hope I don't see that happening because I think Omaha can come in and. Really, I think he won't even be recognizable next year.
And Damarian Watson, I really hope he sticks around because, God, does he play well this year.
He gets better every year.
Yeah, every game he got better. I mean, he's so good on defense. I mean, he's so calm. He's so level-headed, never got too high, never got too low. I mean, I just love Damarian Watson playing. I mean, so I'm hoping he sticks around too. So, but, you know, kids and their families have to make what's the decision that's best for them. And
I'm so glad I'm not in that position where if I'm an Iowa kid, grew up an Iowa kid, like you had probably all these offers and money thrown your way. And you go to Iowa State, you barely play, and you probably got a bunch of random crap online too by stupid fans, like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what is with some people. It's like taking your pain out on an 18-year-old kid.
Well, hopefully they didn't see it.
No, I mean, I'm saying, but like, like the people that do it. I'm thinking about the people that send on these really ridiculous tweets that know that can really hurt, or I don't even know if you're why would you care? Like, why would you even look at it? Like, what does Omaha and Milan and all those get? Obviously, it's hard because we aren't in that position where you get that much attention, which they're not used to it. Like, obviously Omaha is because he's been a five-star recruit, but like,
well, I mean,
Milan coming from Wisconsin level high school, and like, he was a big recruit, but he can't commit to Iowa State, and coming into Iowa State, he was not the lead guy where everyone was talking about. It was Omaha going into the season.
Right.
So,
well, I mean, Omaha, I think I've talked about this before, but I know a guy that coached Omaha in the USA basketball had nothing negative to say about him. I mean, he said he's a great kid, works really hard, and he really, you know, I told him that he was struggling a little bit trying to get on the floor, and he goes, you know what? He's gotten away with being the best athlete on the floor in every game he played in high school, and now he can't get away with it. So he's got to relearn how to play a little bit, and that's exactly what was going on. I mean, everybody was good that he's playing against this year, and something he has to get acclimated to. And I think, you know, he's going to have another year in our weight program and another year of the off-season workouts, and he's got the body. He's obviously got the physical skills, and you know,
and it's not like what it used to be. Like, when he comes to the off season, we have NBA players, legit NBA players, coming back to work out with these guys. Like,
right.
It wasn't that long ago where we had nothing to even, like, obviously Tinsley, but like, obviously, I don't know, Tinsley was even that close to Iowa State's program.
No, he didn't come back.
Well, I'm saying, like, we have a if we continue like getting players in the NBA, like we're going to have this for a long time.
Oh, because, George and Tyrese are very engaged in the program. I mean,
and I think that they love to like be like sponsors of Iowa State. I think that's what they Iowa State gave them a lot, and they're going to give Iowa State just twice or three times
We need
times
to keep
more.
Him in the league as long as we can.
Yeah, especially Tyrese Halliburton. Like those contracts that he's going to get are going to be insane.
And Brock is going to get paid. I mean, Brock, you see Brock's speech to the women's team.
That was awesome.
Yeah, the women are going through the portal thing too. I mean, DL girl. I mean, she left, and one girl that left the team in the middle of the year for personal reasons, she's in the portal now, and a couple other ones are in there too. So you know, they're going to have to do the portal thing as well.
Audie Crooks, Lipsy. That's all I know. They're probably going to be at Iowa State next year, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Which, if we Lipsy, like Lipsy transfers to Kansas. God. What would our Iowa State? Iowa State Twitter do?
I'm a horrible gambler, but I would bet a lot of money that does not happen.
But if what they're like coming to Lipsy, all right, $10 million a year. What are you doing?
Yeah, I've heard Brent Bloom said there's just some massive numbers being thrown around.
But I was like putting himself in that shoes. I'm like, God, Lee, $10 million a year or whatever. I'm just throwing out BS year. Numbers. I have no idea.
Yeah,
and obviously Lipsy.
No,
is just
that happened. That's
the reason why I'm picking Lipsy is a player which I knew who thinks going to be at Iowa State next year. Like, I wouldn't pick Milan because I think Milan's going to get those DMs too. Or like, holy crap. Is. Like,
but Milan's got to learn to get open.
Yes.
I mean, his biggest problem, and I've said this all year, go back and listen to the tape, he has a hard time getting open on his own.
I think he should seek contact more a little on offense because I think if he does like turn around, pump fake, dive into him, it's a free throw line.
Yeah, but he's got to get fouled more. He's got to turn into George. I mean, he's got to be more George and have a game more like George and Yang.
When he's going to get stronger, he's going to be unrecognizable because
he needs to live in the weight room and live in the dining hall and keep eating.
That's why, I mean, you go to Ames, you're not going to go to the bowling alley or, there's not that much to do. And as a under 20-year-old kid in Ames, Iowa, there's really not that much to do. Yeah. And I think that's why parents probably pick at Ames a good spot for him to be because it's drivable to home.
Yeah.
And Ames is a pretty nice place to put a...
Pretty safe place, pretty, keep track of people. Key. Can't get lost like in UNLV or someplace like that.
And pretty close to
the bowling. Keyshawn, could be all wet here, but I mean, Keyshawn followed TJ from UNLV to here. I mean, there's got to be a connection there somewhere. So, we're hoping we can keep, the core guys together and see what happens. But
I think
Jennings kid from Texas Tech just went on the portal today too. So.
And Tyrese Hunter wasn't a TJ recruit, was it a Steve Prohm recruit?
Yeah.
And I think we have a lot of guys to point to where the grass isn't always greener and being at Ames and going undefeated in Hilton. I think, we have a lot to sell. Like, Keyshawn, hasn't lost in Hilton. And, he could be like, all right, you are going to be an Iowa State legend coming back next year. Like, you are set for life if, you just continue on. Because Iowa State fans, they'll, obviously, Seneca Wallace, he has a wing place in Ames.
And owns part of the hotel, too. Yeah. I mean, so.
Those type of deals.
His wife is from Iowa. I mean, so.
Well, those type of deals are available to forever. Because if you're a legend, man, we'll be behind you the rest of your life.
Oh, sure.
You gave us undefeated Hilton, which I've said a million times this podcast, but that is just, you can't say how big that is. Because Hilton Magic, and you can't really say Hilton Magic unless if we keep losing at home.
Right. There's no magic.
And that's
the rabbit did not come out of the hat if you keep losing at home.
And that's our biggest marketing thing for ESPN and stuff is Hilton Magic. And it's just tough when we lose the big games in Hilton for over the last couple of years, which we haven't. And that's just keeps building and building. And
did you see that beer? This is off the subject a little bit, but you see that beer that they were promoting? There's an Iowa State alum and owns a brewery in Omaha. They called it Chilton something. It was a new beer this guy came up with. And so I thought it was the word chill. But I just put it together yesterday. The place we played at in Omaha was the Chai Center, CHI. So then it was combined to be Chilton was the beer that they called it.
Nice.
Because it was Chilton West, and I thought it was chill, temperature, just I'm so damn dumb that it took me that long to figure it out because that was the name of the place in Omaha. So
yeah, I wonder how many beers were created in the last couple of years just because of this NIL stuff every school.
Yeah, I mean, I bought some of the I Will Bill or beer, whatever the hell they call it, made from Peachtree in Winterset, and I just think if they're just trying too hard. When I know you don't drink beer, so you don't care, but they're trying too hard with the fancy beer stuff. If somebody would come up with a formula that is a little lighter and similar to Busch Light, which they sell the living crap out of everywhere, I think it would, and just put it in a cool can, they'd sell more than the Ames Lager stuff that they sold in Omaha last week, because I think they're just trying to, you know, the brewery places want to have a unique flavor and all that kind of stuff. You know, so don't overthink it. Get a beer that's less than 5%, that's more of a light flavored one, put in a cool can, and you will sell the crap out of it. Or skip a step and sign a really good deal with Anheuser-Busch. Get Shane Gillis involved or somebody like that to push an Iowa State version of Busch Light and call it a day. I mean, I'm not crapping on Ames Lager by any means, because I know Ryan Harklaw and Brent Bloom, all those guys have put in a lot of work to it. But I think we there, you know, it's an untapped potential, in my opinion.
Or just make like Goldfish or something.
I would say Goldfish
cereal,
because you like Gold.
Oh. The Juicy Wiggle cereal or something.
Juicy Wiggle cereal. Well, they got pizza, which I still haven't been able to find.
Or yet. Juicy Wiggle juice.
Oh yeah, I mean
vodka drink or something.
Yeah, no, there you go. I mean, make a Juicy Wiggle. What's the juice box?
And there's guys, like the same.
What's the juice box you used to guys drink when you were kids?
High C.
No, the Juicy Juice, those little aluminum things.
Oh, yeah, I know you're talking
yeah,
about.
So yeah, so Juicy Wiggle Juicy Juice or something. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not in that market. Shout out to Ian O'Brien, who just, he's a, known that kid since he was probably 3 years old, now became a person that works for Westo Brewery in Okoboji. So, I mean, that's what I said. I'm not crapping on Ames Lager, but. I'm just saying, you know, if they came out with a new version that was, you know, just a little more like what the Iowa State fan, there's bars in Boston that had to stock Busch Light because we were showing up. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the flavor or the alcohol level that more people drink. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Yeah, I'm sure there's pretty interesting like ideas and like the, I would love to be like an, like, we're like, we will is like, right. How can we make money? Like,
yeah,
or throw anything out there. Like, I would love well, to hear
I'm
those ideas.
I mean, I have a monthly donation I give to those guys. I mean, I'm in, but you know, I've talked to a buddy of ours that runs a brewery, and I've tried to make a Sound the Sirens beer. And you're damn right that if we can get that going, it's going to be part of the We Will too.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. Obviously, don't like beer, and that'd be kind of a bummer for me, but
doesn't matter. We'll put your face on it.
Yeah, right. Instead. That'd sell a lot. I don't know about that, but yeah.
We got an interesting offseason out of us. I mean,
which I don't get canceled like Carson King. Remember that?
Yeah, right.
That was a fiasco.
Yes,
That was a long time ago. But there was a moment there where that was a story for like a whole week. Where it's like, but man, we've gotten a lot of problems since then.
Yep, we have.
And remember the band? It was like the band, the Iowa band, going through, yep. And then Carson King. Man, and things were so much simpler back then.
Yeah. All right.
It's like we knew who was going to be on our team. Like, imagine, like, thank God we went through the whole Brock Purdy, like, years without the NIL crap.
Right.
Like, if Brock Purdy would have, could have left early, like his freshman, sophomore year, like, he was freaking good.
Yes.
Or like the Dave Montgomery, Breece Hall would have gotten offered. My Lord.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jarrell Brock would have been gone. I mean, I think I don't know. Yeah, the hell NIL thing is, you know, they keep saying that, you know.
But, like, with Iowa State, the margin of error is so short. And if one or two players leaves, we're back to, like, oh, man, we're struggling.
Yeah.
And I think the way we kept Campbell, that's the one thing. If Campbell would have left during, like the 7-5 year or whatever it was, Purdy's last year, I think we could be really struggling.
Well, I mean, if you listen to the Josh Pate interview with Matt Campbell.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, it's really good. Yep. I mean, if you haven't listened to it, go out there and find it. Josh Pate is – we sent him some Sound the Sirens stuff back in the day, and really good college football guy, great follow on social media, got a great YouTube channel. But
loves the Cyclones.
Yeah, and he's a Iowa State fan. Not, I mean, he's not an Iowa Stater, but he literally likes Iowa State, and good dude, and he did a great job with that interview too. So
Yep, another season down. Obviously, this offseason is going to be interesting because, like, we don't really know when the news happens when we get players, and it's kind of hard to be on a schedule because things are so crazy.
Yeah, well, we'll just have to figure. You know, we appreciate all of you guys that are listening out there. Tell everybody, you know, your friends about it. I mean, talk to a lot of fans in Omaha and Kansas City. Talk to several of them different in the Power and Light and the Irish Bar in Omaha. And, you know, wore that black hoodie. Thomas put it on Twitter and got a lot of comments about it. And So, you know, if you're interested in supporting Thomas's project here, go get a T-shirt or send some koozies to Ohio this week. Some lady bought some out there. And so if you want, we don't have very many of the black hoodies left. If you're interested, go to soundofthesounders.com and I'll get it out of my basement the next day. But if not, just keep telling your friends. We just like to grow this a little bit. We're not doing a Patreon thing. We're not chasing sponsors. You know, if you want to help support him, buy a shirt, buy a koozie. Otherwise, just keep listening. Follow us on Twitter. Give us one thing we've never talked about. Please give us a 5-star rating and whatever you got to do to rate us on Spotify and Twitter and all that kind of stuff, because that really helps us get in the algorithm. We've been kind of stuck on the same number of downloads for quite a while. We're not doing it for that reason. We're doing it because we love the Cyclones, but it would be kind of fun if we would grow our community a little bit. You're pushing 5,000 followers on Twitter with all the highlights that you do, and vote for us in the Cyclone Dave Twitter bracket thing that's going on right now. We got John Walters next. That one's going to be tough.
Yeah, I don't know if our defense is going to.
Yeah, I don't think we got. I don't think we got the offense to overcome anything. John Walters.
We don't got the NIL budget.
Nope.
We don't got.
No, we don't. No. NIL, we don't have any
just
of
think,
that stuff.
Just think about knowledge. Think about John Walters' brain. How much knowledge of Iowa State crap he has versus us. Like, it's not even comparable. Yeah. Like, he's got to have so many stories.
His stories are behind the scenes.
I know,
the hotels
like,
and
but like everything
all that other stuff.
Everything we want to know. Like,
right,
know?
That we can't talk about, probably.
Which,
yeah.
There's probably so many stories like, yeah, this happened. We're like, dang, I got to know that. Well, I can't say it now. Which,
yeah, right.
Knowing information like that kind of sucks having that where you can't really talk about it.
Right.
Like, those stories, like, man, really that happened? Like, yeah. Man, but yeah, like I said, like you said, everyone, appreciate everyone listening. It's been a fun year. Being an Iowa State fan, there's really nothing better. Like,
29 wins,
undefeated in Hilton. We got Campbell as our coach in football still. We got T.J. Osberger.
And we haven't talked about wrestling. Can we?
Wrestling.
Listen, you know, Humboldt is kind of like Hilton North. I mean, we've got Kevin Dresser is the wrestling coach. We got Ryan Harclaw is the color guy, the Humboldt guy. We've
Cade
got
Madsen.
Cade Madsen's a walk-on safety. We've got Bruce Reimers, Hall of Famer, Super Bowl guy. You know, we've got Derek Clark, former middle linebacker for Iowa State. We've got a lot of Iowa State connections here, and that's why this is a lot of fun, because we run into these guys. And you ran into Ryan at the restaurant in Omaha and talked to him for a little bit. And, you know, it's just it's a lot of fun, and we got to – you know, kind of keep pushing the Cyclones a little bit, because we have the Dallas Clarks around here too, and Brady Rosses and that kind of stuff that are on the Hawks side
and
as
like,
well. So
seeing Dallas on Pat McAfee, I'm just like, this thing about Pat Dallas only does like 3 or 4 podcasts a year. We're on that loop. It's like, it's so weird. He's sitting on Pat McAfee. There's 500,000 YouTube views, and it's like, man, that's weird.
And Brady Ross got Brady. Your brother played rec league basketball against Brady Ross last week, and Brady got kicked out because he hung on the rim because Brady dunked.
Brady's a fullback at Iowa. He's a legend there for a long
super
time.
Super dude. I mean, yeah,
he's probably one of the best athletes to come out of Humboldt.
Season had season tickets to Iowa State games when he was in high school.
Brady, he knocked me out as a. We could probably talk about it when I'm on sometime, but there's some stories there we could share, which are hilarious.
I remember he played played pickup basketball with your brother at our park one summer, and he was probably, fifth grader.
He's strong as hell.
And your brother fouls him and he looks at him and goes, "You do that again, I'm gonna knock you out." And he wasn't kidding.
Nope.
It wasn't hyperbole.
Yeah, that was fun.
So we've been sitting here for about an hour, and since then we've got 2 transfers that have already left.
Yep. So, hopefully.
Hold on to the roller coaster. It's just beginning.
Yep. So, appreciate everyone listening, and go Cyclones.
Go Cyclones.